Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.
Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill they called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So it was this past Friday evening, my family and I, we decided we needed to get out of the house and go enjoy a little bit of Memorial Day weekend. So we decided we would head up to Lexington and see what was going on there. A lot of people had the same idea, apparently, Friday evening. We're driving in on Richmond Road, and then we saw the signs that told us immediately that our plans were about to change. You know the signs, right? Brake lights start to come on before brake lights should come on. Traffic starts to slow down gradually, and uh-oh. And then we notice, looking through the lanes, that there's this parting of the waters almost going around one of the busy intersections, the one right there in front of Jacobson Park. Cars just driving around. And so we pull up there, and there's this. There's two cars right in the way. And there's a gentleman standing out there in the intersection, and he's on his phone. And my wife yells out the window, "Hey, is everyone okay?" Because the problem was there were no sirens, no lights, no police, no firefighters there upon the scene of this, which would look like a pretty rough accident. "Is everyone okay?" And the man's on his phone, and he kind of points over to the other car. He says, "There's a little girl in the car." All right. So I put the van in park and turn off the engine. Boys are in the back. "You all stay here. Hazards on, and let's go check." So Stacy and I, we walk over to this other car, and inside in the back seat is this little five-year-old girl, and she's right there in the middle, and Mama's back there with her, as well as their family dog there. And so there's this scene, the little girl's just in tears. She appeared initially to be okay. We wanted to make sure of this. Mom was right there doing the mom thing, you know, holding her face in her hands, telling her, "It's going to be okay. You just need to calm down." I mean, there were tears and there was snot and mucus and all this good stuff. And I looked at Stacy. I said, "This is really your area of expertise. I'll take the dog." And so the dog on the leash, all right, we're out of here. I'm doing my thing. I know where I'm gifted, okay, and where I'm not. And so, you know, so Stacy's in there checking out the girl. It turned out to be okay at everything. They got checked out at the hospital and all that. But then came this moment, and if you've ever been upon the scene of an accident, you know the moment it's going to happen. The police arrive, show up. They take control of the scene, and a police officer approaches me. He says, "Sir, did you see what happened?" And it was then I had to admit to my ignorance and just say, "No, I did not." I said, it couldn't have happened much before we arrived here, but we did not see what took place. And the officer responded, "Well, thank you, sir. You can leave whenever you wish." And that was his way of saying, "You are no use to me. Just take care of the dog and get out of our way." Because the officer needed a witness. That's what he was looking for. I couldn't serve as a witness. I did not see what had taken place. In the scripture that was just read for us, Jesus is surrounded. He's in this holy huddle with his disciples. We're reading, Monica read out of Acts chapter 1. So Jesus is here. I'll just set up the scene real quick for us. Jesus is here. His disciples have huddled around him. They've got this question of now what on their minds because they've been with him a while. These disciples, they have followed Jesus for years. They've heard him teach. They've seen his miracles, okay? They got to spend that intimate moment with him at the Last Supper. They got to see him be arrested. Some of them saw him on the cross. And now here he is. The resurrected Jesus is here. So you can't blame these disciples for asking the question that's on their minds. Is now the time you're going to restore things? Because isn't that the question we all have? The world's a jacked up place, in case you haven't noticed. Is now the time? Is now the time? You obviously, you've proven to us that you are who you said you were. And death can't stop you. Is now the time? Is this it? And Jesus' response was at least twofold. First off, he assured them there is a plan. The Father has a timetable for when things will be set right. Isn't that great news? But the other part of it was, that's for him to know. That's his business. And then he turns, you can just imagine, he looks at his disciples. And he says, "Wait here. Let's talk about right now. That'll be then. But let's talk right now. Right now. You stay here. You wait here for the gift that I talked to you about. The gift the Father will send you. The Holy Spirit. You wait here for that. And when that power comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses." And isn't that completely understandable? Because these disciples were there. They saw the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes. They touched him. They ate a meal with him. You know, all they could be witnesses. They saw him. But what about us? You know, Jesus hasn't come back. The mission is still on the church. To be witnesses. But how? How can we be witnesses when we haven't seen that to which we're called to attest to? Let's take Paul, for instance. First off, let's talk about the book of Acts. Verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. It's like the table of contents for the book of Acts. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you read through the book of Acts, that's what's happening. We get to see this good news. That everything you see is not the end. All this trouble, car accidents, everything else. This is not the end. God is not done. Amen? Whoa. Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. Warming up. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. This is where we're called to go. But how? And then there's Paul. And Paul is the one, if you read through the book of Acts, the latter part of Acts is all about him. And he's taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's going to Rome. He's taking the gospel to Caesar, and that's where it ends, this book of Acts. So verse 8 is that table of contents. It's just kind of in a nutshell, and it's unpacked as we go through the rest. But the most of Acts, the latter part of it, is about this guy named Paul. But here's the deal about Paul. Paul wasn't there in that holy huddle. Paul wasn't there. Paul was about some other business at the time when Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." And then a little bit later, we see Paul doing his thing. He's going off. He's planting churches. What in the world? How can you be a witness? How can Paul be a witness? In other words, I guess my question that's kind of been on my mind as I've prepared this is, what did Paul see? What did Paul hear? You know, the saddest thing about the accident that Stace and I came upon, other than the fact that the accident happened, was that the only people that stuck around that accident was us. And we didn't see it. Now, I know. And I know the kind of thinking where you see something like that, and it kind of goes, oh my gosh, look at the time. I can't stop. I have to go. I've got to be somewhere. Well, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the police. The police will come. That's their job. They're going to take care of the whole situation, right? I mean, I'm not condemning anyone for driving away because I've had these thoughts myself. You know, I just don't want to, I don't want to get involved in their stuff. That's their business. You know, they're on the phone. They'll work it out. I can understand why people could see that and then just drive away. But I know also, because I experience it as well, isn't there that little underlying fear? Man, if I get involved, what'll happen to me? Maybe I'll get hurt. Maybe I'll get sucked into something I don't want to get sucked into. Isn't that there? And so it's just easier. I'm just going to drive around, and I'm just going to go. So the only ones of us there were the ones that didn't see the whole thing take place. So Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And if you kind of look at that word witness all the way through, primarily he's talking about being witnesses of the resurrection. Witnesses that he's still alive. And if you were one of the original disciples, that's what you would want to talk about too, right? Yeah, I saw Jesus do lots of cool things, but the best. The tomb is empty. Jesus was here. He ate food. He was physically here. I think that's what I would be talking about. And Jesus is telling them in this holy huddle, go talk about it. Go. When you have this power of the Holy Spirit upon you, go talk about it. Tell them. This world and what you see is not the end. God isn't finished. But that word witness, we can follow that through Acts, but kind of has a bad connotation to it, doesn't it? When you say that word witness, and it's because I think we've seen it the wrong way too. And once again, I can relate. I think I've been a part of those conversations, you know. Even if you're having a conversation with a non-believer or somebody just with questions, and it kind of becomes tense and it kind of becomes a debate, and then it becomes, even if the conversation stays civil, the conversation sometimes Christians and non-believers gets out of control. And then that conversation, and again, I'll plead guilty, sometimes it's really more about who's right. And whose logical arguments are better than the other person's, and can I refute what you said? And then you'll walk out of those conversations, and maybe you're feeling good for a brief moment. Man, I won that battle. But then, you know, we just lost the war, because that's not what it's about. That whole, you just ruined the relationship there. And so what Jesus is calling us to do, those of us here that are Christ followers, I'm not going to assume all of us are, but those of us that are Christ followers, what Jesus is calling us to be and to do is to be his witnesses. And there's a right way to go about that. And there's a wrong way to go about it. And don't even get me started about social media. You've seen it too. It's embarrassing. The way Christians talk and act. And I know if you're on social media, you've seen it. And it's like, please, don't. But there's another way. Thanks be to God. There is another way. D.A. Carson is a theologian and a pastor. And he, in one of his sermons, he tells a story about a time when he was leading a Bible study on a college campus. And he would say anytime that he got, when he got in too deep with someone that was challenging with the questions that they had, he would take those people to another guy on campus named Dave. And there was this one guy in particular, and Carson, he said, man, I was out of my league with this guy. And so I took this guy with all his questions, and we went to see this guy, this Christian named Dave. And the guy that was kind of challenging him in his faith, here's what he had to say. We've probably heard this before. He says, here was his story. I came from a family that doesn't believe in a literal resurrection and all that stuff. That's a bit too much for us, but we're a fine family, a good church-going family. We love each other, care for each other, and we do good in the community. We're a stable family. So what do you have that we don't have? So Dave looked at this young man, and here was his response. Watch me. Move in with me. I have an extra bed. Just follow me around. You see how I behave? What's important to me? What I do with my time? The way I talk? You watch me. And at the end of 3 months, you tell me there's no difference. This young man didn't take Dave up on the offer, but he did keep coming back. He did keep returning to watch Dave and how Dave lived out his Christian faith. And eventually, this young man became a Christian missionary. Awesome. But Carson, he concludes that whole story. Here's his words. I think they're really powerful. He says, a Christian is saying, in effect, I'm one poor beggar telling another where to find bread. I drank deeply from the wellsprings of grace. God knows I need more of it. If you watch me, you'll see some glimmerings of the Savior. And ultimately, you'll want to fasten on to Him. Watch me. See, I think Jesus, as he's calling us that are Christ followers to be witnesses, he's calling us to be more real than right. It's one thing to be right. It's another thing to be real. And it's one thing to be real with our words. And it's another thing to be real with how we live out those words. Jesus is risen. Fantastic. How is that showing in your life? That's what the world is wanting to see. But the bad news to that is sometimes, as we know, there's a cost to pay for that kind of life, that kind of witness. The question that was racking me in preparing was, what did Paul see? And maybe you're familiar with his story. Now, look, sometimes the Bible's confusing, okay? When we first read of Paul, he goes by Saul. I'm going to call him Paul for simplicity. You can send your emails later about my inaccuracy. We're just going to call him Paul, okay? But the first thing Paul saw, what was it? Well, Jamie, I know that story, and maybe you do. Paul, he was on his way on the road to Damascus. He was going to go beat and arrest more Christians. It was kind of a little hobby of his, kind of a little pastime. This is what he did. And then, Jamie, here's what happened. And then Jesus got a hold of him. And the story goes, there was this bright light, and Paul was blinded. And Paul was converted. Conversions. In church history. But I'll attest to you, that's not what Paul first saw. Because, see, as you trace through the book of Acts, our author Luke wants us to know something else. And the first thing that Luke wants us to know that Paul saw was about another disciple. And that disciple's name was Stephen. And when Paul was there, again, going by Saul, but Paul. And Paul's there. Stephen was being stoned to death. It's just this little verse in there. And it says, and Saul/Paul was there giving his approval. People came, laid their coats at his feet. He was there. Luke, the author, wants us to know the first thing, at least in his account, that Paul saw was a Christian being stoned to death for what he believed in. What was the first thing maybe that Paul heard? It was this same Christian offering up a prayer of forgiveness for those chucking the stones at him. Unbelievable. But Luke wants us to know this is what Paul first saw. Now, if you're ready for a little irony, you know, Paul, he gets converted. He becomes a Jesus follower. And then he starts this ends of the earth witness thing. And he starts planting all these churches, you know, because you know we've read some of the letters that are in our New Testament that he wrote to these churches. But the way the Acts, a little further in our book of Acts, Paul's arrested. And he's arrested for this very witness that he tried to snuff out. But he says, wait, let me have a chance to share my story with you all. And he's given this opportunity to those with ears to hear to share his story with the people. And he says, yeah, it was on the road, and Jesus, he got a hold of me, and my life was conformed. I'm a changed man. And I'll submit to you, this is the first step. How can we be a witness? We got to have that personal experience with Jesus Christ through the Spirit. And Paul attested this. The Spirit got a hold of me. I'm a new man, living out this new life. But he didn't stop his story there. He told about another disciple, some no-name disciple named Ananias, who was sent to pray for Paul and as part of his conversion experience. But Paul didn't stop there either. Paul tells his story, and he shares about this Stephen that he saw. He still remembers Stephen. So many months later, he still remembers the price Stephen paid for his witness, giving up everything for what he believed in. In the words that he shared, "And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." It's interesting that in this verse it says, "Martyr Stephen." The NIV translates a certain Greek word into martyr. What's a martyr? A martyr is someone that dies or suffers for what they believe in. And here Stephen's called a martyr. The interesting thing is that same Greek word, most everywhere else, is translated into another English word, and that word is witness. So this one Greek word can be translated as witness. It can be translated as martyr. And I think that goes to confirm that we know there's a cost. We know there's a price to pay when we stand for what we believe in, when we live out the things we believe in. I don't know if you pay attention to the news. There was at least 28 other martyrs, 28 Egyptian Christians killed a few days ago. They were on a bus heading to a monastery. Martyrs. People are still dying. People are still paying the ultimate price today for standing up for what they believe in, for living out what they believe in. There's a cost to being a witness. But that cost is part of what it means to be a witness. It's one thing to talk about what we believe in. It's another thing to live it out. So I'll submit to you, what did Paul see? Paul saw Jesus. Paul saw the risen Jesus and had a personal experience with him. But Paul saw disciples. Paul saw other disciples giving up everything they had for what they believed in. And that's the mission the church is still on today. Why do we gather once a week or more often? Because I need to see you. I need to see your witness. Yes, Pastor Jamie needs to see you and what you sacrifice for what you believe in and how you serve faithfully. And some of you, I see you and I say, there must be a God. I can only hope you might see some of that in me too. But we need to get together. So we're called to be witnesses of the resurrected Jesus because in a sense we have seen, but we've also seen each other in the price that we've paid, in the service that we've given, the sacrifices. So we're called to be witnesses to each other here in the church. We're called to be witnesses to those who will come and visit in our church. I hope they'll see the risen Jesus here. We're called to be witnesses to those who will come and visit for Vacation Bible School this week. We're going to have a grand finale Sunday at the evening service that I lead. And you know, the whole point of that is so that they'll see our church. And maybe some will choose to stick around and see the risen Jesus even more. I can only ask you, if you're there, just to meet them, get to know them, let them get to know you. But here's the deal. A lot of other people out there are never going to set foot in these buildings. It's a courageous act. My wife went and visited a church not too long ago just to see what was going on there. She said, I can't express how nervous I was, and I'm a church-going person. So the courage people have, but there's people out that will never come here because they think they won't be accepted. Maybe they don't have the clothes to wear. I have heard people say, I don't have the money you people have. I won't be accepted there. Maybe I don't really want to be there. I don't believe the same things that you people believe. So here's where Jesus says, go. Be my witnesses here in your church buildings, but then go to the ends of the earth if you have to. My prayer for us is that we would continue, and I mean that word continue, that we would continue to be a place where people could come. People wondering, is all that Jesus stuff real? Is all that stuff true? Jesus really empty tomb? Come on, really? Really? And my prayer is that this is a place where they'll hear about it. But my prayer is that they would also see it. They'll see it in you all. That they'll see it in me. My prayer is that we would be that place when people who have questions or doubts, or maybe they're just skeptical, that they would come in and we could say, watch us. Come. Watch us. Move in with us even. Join us. Follow us around. Watch how we behave. Watch and see what's important to us, how we treat each other, how we talk to each other, how we spend our time, our money. You watch us. And at the end of 3 months, you tell us there's no difference with the people here at First United Methodist Church. So may the Holy Spirit continue to pour out His power upon us so that we can be His witnesses. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.